Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time we're going to be taking a look at hope,
Hope.
specifically how it's understood in the Christian faith.
Right.
You've given us a really interesting mix this time around. We've got some Bible verses,
Okay.
and we've got some articles about hope and the role of Jesus.
Yeah, sounds like a good mix.
And it seems like you're looking for more than just a simple dictionary definition of hope.
Right.
It's more about this idea of Jesus being an anchor for that hope.
Absolutely.
And what does that mean? What does that mean?
Exactly. Yeah, we're going beyond just a warm, fuzzy feeling here.
Yeah.
We're diving into how this hope is anchored in something solid.
Right.
Someone who changes everything.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in. One of the verses that you sent us is Isaiah 9:6.
Okay.
Now, this one is from the Old Testament. It's a prophecy written centuries before Jesus was even born.
Right.
And it talks about a child who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Wow, those are some pretty impressive titles.
I know. Just reading those gives me chills.
All right.
And it's not just any baby, right? This is someone who's going to be a leader and bring peace and justice.
Absolutely.
So can you imagine the anticipation, the longing for that?
Oh, yeah.
For someone who could actually come and make things right?
Absolutely. And for centuries, this prophecy fueled the hope of the Jewish people.
Right.
This wasn't just some sudden idea. It was woven into their faith for generations.
Okay.
And so when we jump forward to the New Testament, we see how that hope is fulfilled in Jesus.
So it's not just an Old Testament thing.
No, not at all.
This hope carries right through.
Carries right through.
And speaking of carrying through, another verse he sent us was Jeremiah 29:10.
Okay, yeah.
This is a super popular verse. A lot of people turn to it for comfort. Mm-hmm. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is a good one.
It's a good one.
But here's where it gets interesting. One of the articles he sent points out that it's really important to keep in mind the original context for this verse.
The context is always key.
It was a message to the Israelites who were in exile.
Exiles.
And God was promising them that eventually he was going to restore them.
Yeah.
And so while that restoration, you know, there was a part of that that was fulfilled when they returned to Jerusalem.
Right.
The ultimate fulfillment is actually found in Jesus.
That's a key point. And it challenges us to consider, you know, what does it mean for our understanding of this verse today?
Yeah.
How does Jesus fit into that hope and future that God promises?
Right.
Does it maybe change how we view challenges or setbacks?
Okay.
Does it make us question whether God's good plan always lines up with our idea of good?
Lots of questions to think about.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's shift gears to the New Testament.
Okay.
You highlighted Romans 15:13,
yeah, right,
which talks about the God of hope filling us with joy and peace as we trust in him so that we can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so this idea that it's not just a mental exercise.
Right.
It's fueled by something beyond ourselves.
Right, by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
It makes me wonder, have you ever felt that surge of hope, that inner strength when you're trusting in something bigger than yourself?
You know, I think most of us have had those moments
in
times of crisis or uncertainty.
Right.
And this verse seems to suggest that that's possible.
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit can actually give us that boost.
That boost of hope when we need it.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the articles you sent even talks about the psychological benefits of hope.
Oh, really?
How it can reduce stress, increase resilience.
Oh, wow.
Even improve physical health.
So it's not just this like fluffy feel good thing. Well, it actually has real benefits.
Tangible benefits.
Wow. And you know, that strength that we're talking about, that inner strength.
Yes.
That's a great bridge to another verse that you sent us, Hebrews 6:19-20. This one describes hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure.
That's a great visual.
Right. It's not just any anchor, though.
Yeah.
It's something that enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain.
So it's deep.
It's secure.
Secure.
It's anchored in the very presence of God.
Powerful imagery.
Right. So powerful. And speaking of solid foundations, 1 Peter 1:3 really zeroes in on the resurrection of Jesus as being the cornerstone of Christian hope.
Absolutely.
It talks about being born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it's not just wishful thinking.
No, it's based on an actual event.
Right. A historical event.
A historical event.
A fact.
A fact that changes everything.
That changes everything. It's the foundation for this promise of eternal life, a future beyond anything we can imagine.
And that's not just about escaping this world. Yeah. It's about a transformed future.
Right.
And, you know, you sent a couple of verses that actually connect this hope to specific aspects of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like in 1 Timothy 1.1, Paul calls Jesus our hope.
Okay.
And then in Titus 2.13, it links hope to his second coming.
Oh, wow.
And the establishment of his kingdom.
So it's like this both and thing.
Yeah, it's a fascinating picture of how hope works.
Right.
It's not an either or.
Right.
We experience hope in our lives today because of who Jesus is and what he's already done. But we also have this incredible future hope.
Right.
Based on his promises.
It's like a deep well of hope that we can draw from in the present and in the future.
Both.
I'm really intrigued by these next two verses, Colossians 1.27 and 1 John 3.3.
Okay.
Now, Colossians talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay.
While 1 John connects hope with living a pure life.
Mm.
It's like having Jesus as the source of your hope actually changes how you live.
Absolutely. And one of the articles even talks about the sociological impact of hope.
Interesting.
How it can inspire social change.
Oh, wow.
And motivate people to work for justice and equality. So if we connect that to these verses, it suggests that Christian hope isn't just about personal piety.
Right.
It's about transforming the world around us.
Yeah.
It's about aligning our actions with our beliefs.
Right. Aligning those actions.
Aligning the action.
Like putting our money where our mouth is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that quote from one of the articles, hope is not just a feeling, it's a verb.
Loved.
It compels us to act to make a difference.
It does.
And then you topped it all off with that really vivid picture from Revelation 21.4.
Ah, yeah.
This vision of the new heaven and new earth.
A new heaven and new earth.
Where God wipes away every tear.
Every tear.
And there's no more death or mourning or crying or pain.
That's the ultimate picture of what Christian hope is all about.
Yeah, the ultimate.
It's breathtaking.
It is breathtaking.
And it reminds us that our hope is not in vain.
No.
It's grounded in a future that is both certain and glorious.
It's like a promise, a guarantee that all the brokenness and pain in this world will ultimately be healed.
Yeah, it's a powerful promise.
This is definitely a lot to unpack.
It is.
What are your initial thoughts? What comes to mind when you think about this idea of hope being anchored in Jesus?
You know, I think what's so fascinating to me is how these verses and these articles don't just talk about hope in a vague, abstract way.
Yeah.
They specifically link it to the person of Jesus,
okay,
to his life, his death, his resurrection, and his promised return.
So it's not just a concept. Uh-huh. It's rooted in a relationship.
It's personal. It's relational.
That's awesome. That's a great place to pause for now.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to explore what this actually looks like in practice.
All right.
How this hope that's anchored in Jesus can actually impact our everyday lives.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned.
Stay with us.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've been exploring this really fascinating idea of hope anchored in Jesus.
Yeah.
And how it's not just this fleeting feeling, but a deep, secure foundation rooted in that relationship with him.
Absolutely.
And I'm really eager to kind of unpack what this actually looks like in everyday life.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, we've seen how hope is woven throughout the whole Bible from those prophecies we talked about all the way to the promises of Jesus's return.
Yeah, it's a consistent theme.
But how do we actually tap into that hope?
Right.
Especially when life gets tough.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're facing some challenges right now, a personal crisis, or you're feeling overwhelmed by everything going on in the world.
Right.
And you wonder, where is the hope in all of this?
Where is it?
You know, the articles you sent actually offer some really practical insights into how we can actually cultivate and strengthen that hope.
Okay. I'm all ears. What stood out to you?
Well, one thing that really resonated with me was the emphasis on gratitude.
Okay.
Several of the articles talked about the power of intentionally focusing on what's good, even when things are difficult.
Yeah.
It's like training your mind to look for those little glimmers of hope.
Right. Those little sparks of light in the darkness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not about ignoring the hard stuff.
Right.
It's about choosing to also see the good.
Okay. So it's about perspective.
Yeah. It's about perspective.
Choosing to look for the good.
Yeah. And, you know, I was reading one of the articles and I was talking about how practicing gratitude can actually rewire our brains.
Oh, wow.
To be more positive.
Interesting.
Like, it's like building a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
The more we practice gratitude, the stronger it gets.
I like that. Okay, so gratitude is a big one.
Gratitude is a big one, and that shift in perspective,
Yeah.
it can really have a ripple effect on our whole outlook.
Okay.
Another theme that came up a lot was the importance of connection.
Connection, okay.
Yeah, the articles really emphasized the role of relationships and community
Yeah.
in fostering hope.
Okay.
You know, when we surround ourselves with people who support us and who share our values,
Yeah.
it creates a buffer against despair.
It's like having this network of hope boosters.
Yeah, I like
Yeah.
that.
People who remind us of what's true and what's good, especially when we're struggling to see it ourselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that connects back to what we were talking about before,
Yeah.
that idea of hope being anchored in Jesus.
Right.
It's not just an individualistic thing.
Right. It's communal.
It's communal. We're called to be part of the community, a body of believers
Yeah.
who support each other and encourage each other.
There's that great verse in Hebrews that talks about not giving up meeting together. I
Yes.
think that's so important, especially when we're talking about hope.
I agree. And, you know, when we gather together, we share our stories.
Yeah.
We pray for each other. We remind each other of God's promises.
We build each other up.
Yeah, and it creates this sense of shared hope, this
Yeah.
collective belief that even in the midst of hardship,
Yeah.
God is at work
Yeah.
and that ultimately things will be made right.
Right.
And one of the articles you sent highlighted the power of action.
Oh, okay. So it's not enough to just sit around hoping for things to get better.
Right? It's not enough to just hope.
We gotta do
We have
something.
to actively participate in making the world a better place.
So it's like that saying, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah,
It's
exact.
not enough to just wish for things to
We
change.
got to actually do something.
We gotta do something.
And, you know, the article was saying that taking action, even small steps,
Okay.
can actually increase our sense of hope. Yeah,
Really?
it's like a feedback loop.
Oh,
When
interesting.
we see that our actions can make a difference,
Yeah.
it strengthens our belief that things can change for the better.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be these big grand gestures.
Right.
It could be volunteering in your community,
Right.
advocating for a cause you're passionate about,
Yeah.
even just offering a kind word or a helping hand to someone in need.
Right. Those little
Those
things.
little things, they make a difference.
They do make a difference.
Yeah.
I love that. It reminds me of that verse in Galatians that talks about faith working through love.
Yes.
So it's not just about believing the right things.
It's about putting those beliefs into action.
Right. Letting that hope inspire us to make a difference. But
Exactly.
what about when we face those really, really tough moments,
Yeah.
those times when it feels like the darkness is closing in and we just can't see a way forward?
Yeah, those are the hard times.
How do we hold on to hope then?
That's a really powerful question, and I think that's where our understanding of hope being anchored in Jesus
Yeah.
becomes so crucial.
Okay.
You know, when we feel like we're losing our grip, we have to remember that our hope is not ultimately dependent on our circumstances
Right.
or even on our feelings.
Yeah.
It's grounded in something much bigger. It's grounded in the unchanging character of God
Okay.
and the promises that He has made.
So it's like shifting our focus from
Yes.
our own limited perspective
Right?
to a much bigger, more eternal perspective.
Exactly. And one of the articles talked about the importance of remembering God's faithfulness.
Okay.
You know, it encouraged people to look back on their lives and see how God has been faithful in the past, how He's brought them through difficult seasons before.
Right.
And, you know, even if we can't see the way forward right now,
Yeah.
we can trust that He's still with us.
Okay.
He's still working for our good, even in the midst of the unknown.
That's a good reminder. Even when our own strength fails, we can rely on his strength.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's that verse in Isaiah
Yeah.
that says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint."
Powerful.
It's a beautiful promise
Yeah.
that when we choose to hope in Him, we would tap into a source of strength
Yes.
that's beyond our own.
And you know, it makes me think about something else that one of the articles talked about,
Okay.
the power of lament.
Oh, yeah.
And it encouraged people to be honest with God about their pain, about their doubts, their
It's
fears.
not about pretending everything's okay.
Right. We don't have to put on a happy face.
No, it's about bringing those raw emotions to God
Yeah.
and allowing Him to comfort and strengthen us.
You know, I think sometimes we feel like we have to put on a brave face for God.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way.
Like we can't let him see our doubts or our struggles.
But you know, it's actually okay to be honest with Him
Yeah.
about how we're feeling.
Right.
And one of the articles drew this really beautiful parallel
Okay.
between the Psalms of Lament
Okay.
and Jesus' own cry of anguish on the cross.
Oh, wow.
You know, it pointed out that even Jesus, the embodiment of hope,
yeah,
wasn't afraid to express his pain and his suffering to the Father.
That's a powerful image. It gives us permission to bring our whole selves to God.
Yes, our whole selves.
Even the messy parts.
The messy, broken parts.
Yeah. And maybe that's part of what it means to have hope anchored in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about denying the reality of our pain or pretending everything's fine.
It's about trusting that even in the midst of our brokenness,
yeah,
we are held by a love that will never let us go.
That will never let us go. I love that. And it reminds me of another aspect of hope that came up in those articles.
What's that?
The importance of embracing mystery.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You know, there are times in life when we simply won't have all the answers.
Absolutely.
We won't understand why things are happening the way they are.
And that's okay.
But even in those moments of uncertainty, we can choose to trust that God is good and that he has a plan.
He does have a plan.
Even if we can't see it.
Even if we can't see it yet.
It's like surrendering to the bigger story, even when we don't know all the details.
I like that, surrendering to the bigger story.
And maybe that's part of what makes hope so powerful.
Yeah.
It's not about having all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
It's about trusting the one who does.
Trusting the one who does. That's a good word.
One of the articles made this really interesting connection between hope and imagination.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
I know, right? It argued that cultivating our imagination can actually help us to hold on to hope.
Especially when we're facing difficult circumstances.
So how does that work?
Well, it suggested that we can use our imagination to envision a better future.
Okay.
To picture ourselves overcoming challenges and experiencing the fulfillment of God's promises.
I see. So it's not about denying the reality of our present situation,
yeah,
but it's about allowing ourselves to be drawn forward by the hope of something better.
Right. And I think this is something that the Bible actually encourages us to do.
Yeah.
You know, think about all those stories of faith.
Yeah.
Abraham trusting God to provide a son, even when he and Sarah were way up there in age.
Right.
Joseph holding on to hope even when he was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery.
Yeah, powerful story.
David facing Goliath with the conviction that God would give him victory.
Those are great examples.
Those stories invite us to imagine the impossible.
Yeah, to believe that God can do
the impossible
far more than we can ask or imagine.
Right, they're giving us permission to dream big.
Yeah, to believe that even in the midst of what seems impossible, God can work miracles.
That's what faith is all about.
It is. And one of the articles shared this really powerful quote from the writer Frederick Buchner, who said, "Hope is the ability to hear the music of the future. Faith is the courage to dance to it today."
Wow. I love that. The courage to dance to the music of the future.
It's beautiful. And it suggests that hope is not just about passively waiting for things to get better.
Right.
It's about actively participating in that hope.
Yeah, living it out.
Living it out in the present.
Even when we can't see the full picture.
Even when we can't see the full picture. I love that. And, you know, I think that's a great place to transition to the next part of our discussion.
Right.
We've talked about how to cultivate hope, how to hold on to it in tough times, and how to let it shape our actions.
It's been a good conversation.
It has been a good conversation, but I'm curious, you know, what are some of the common misconceptions about hope in the Christian faith? What are some of the things that you've encountered that make people kind of hesitant or even skeptical about this whole idea of Christian hope?
That's a great question, and we'll dive into that right after this quick break.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've been on this incredible journey exploring what it means to have hope anchored in Jesus.
Yeah, it's been a rich conversation.
It really has. We've talked about how it's rooted in his life, death, and resurrection,
mm-hmm.
how it's fueled by the Holy Spirit, and how it can really shape our actions and our character.
Right. It's not just a passive thing.
No, it's an active thing. But before we wrap up, I'm really curious to kind of dig into some of the common misconceptions or misunderstandings that people have about hope in the Christian faith.
Yeah. I think those are important to address.
What are some of the things you've encountered that make people hesitant?
Okay.
Or even skeptical about this whole idea of Christian hope?
One of the biggest ones I hear is that Christian hope is just pie in the sky. You know, it's this way to just ignore all the problems of this world
and
just focus on some blissful afterlife.
So it's like escapism.
Yeah. It gets painted as escapism, a way to check out of reality.
Right. So people think it's about putting on rose-colored glasses and pretending everything's fine.
Exactly.
While the world's falling apart around us.
Yeah, and it's interesting because as we've seen from the scriptures and the articles, Christian hope is anything but passive. It's not about denying the reality of suffering or injustice. It's actually often in the face of those very things that hope shines the brightest.
It's like that image we talked about earlier, the anchor holding that ship steady in the storm.
Yes, a good visual.
It's not about escaping the storm. It's about having something solid to hold on to
To hold on to.
while you're going through it.
Absolutely. And one of the articles even said that true hope doesn't ignore the negative. It acknowledges, it grapples with it, and then chooses to believe that things can be different.
It's a refusal to give in to despair.
Yeah, exactly. It's that fighting spirit.
And it makes me think of that quote from one of the articles.
Oh, yeah. What's that one?
Hope is a verb with its sleeves rolled up.
I love that one.
It's not just a feeling.
It's an action word.
It's an active, engaged force for good in the world.
And that leads into another misconception, I think.
Okay, what's up?
This idea that hope is just a feeling, something fleeting and unreliable.
Right, like people say, don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up. You'll just be disappointed.
But Christian hope is not based on our emotions.
It goes so much deeper than that.
Right, it's rooted in something much deeper and more enduring.
Absolutely.
So it's not about feeling hopeful all the time.
Right.
It's about having this foundational belief that even when things are tough,
Yeah. Even when things are tough.
God is good. He's in control. He has a plan.
And one of the articles talk about the difference between optimism and hope.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, optimism tends to be based on external circumstances, whereas hope is grounded in an internal conviction, a trust in God's character and his promises.
It's like that verse in Romans that says, hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a powerful reminder
It is.
that even when our feelings are all over the place, God's love stays constant.
It's unchanging.
And that's really the bedrock of our hope.
It's the foundation. And I think it's also important to remember that hope is not a solo endeavor. This is something we experience and cultivate together as a community.
So it's not just about my own personal hope.
Yeah.
It's about being part of a group of people
A community.
who share that hope, who encourage each other,
Yeah.
and who work together to make that hope a reality in the world.
Yeah. You said it beautifully. And one of the articles talked about the importance of communities of hope.
Communities of hope.
Yeah, where people can come together to support each other, share their stories, and find strength in their shared beliefs and values.
It makes me think about those early Christians in the book of Acts,
Yeah.
how they faced so much persecution and hardship,
They did.
but they just clung to that hope in
That
Jesus,
clung to it.
and they supported each other through thick and
And
thin.
that's still true today. When we gather together, we remind each other of God's faithfulness. We pray for each other. We celebrate victories. We weep with those who weep.
That's powerful.
It is. And it's in those moments of shared experience that hope becomes real, tangible, contagious.
It's like that saying, a single spark can start a fire.
I like that.
When we share our hope with others, it can ignite something powerful,
Yes, it can.
something that can spread and bring light to even the darkest corners.
Beautifully said, and I think that's a great image to leave our listener with.
It is a great image.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I hope you're walking away with a renewed sense of what it means to have hope anchored in Jesus. It's not just some wishful thought. It's a powerful force for good in the world. Something that can sustain us through tough
It
times,
helps us persevere.
shape our character, and inspire us to make a difference.
It's been an amazing journey exploring this topic together, and I'm so grateful for your insights.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
So, to our listener, as you go about your week, remember those words from Hebrews. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure.
That's a good one to remember.
Hold on to that anchor. Let it ground you and let it fuel your journey.
Yes.
Until next time, keep diving deep.